Doug Christie.
You're a Hall of Famer, too, in my heart.
He's Jason Ross.
There's one Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Spend your afternoons with DC and Jay Ross on Sports 1140 KHTK.
Here we go. Welcome into the show. Hopefully you enjoyed Golf to Go's Golf Hour. Thanks again to Frank LaRosa joining us each and every week here for an hour. And now we're moving on.
What's up, Ross?
Me and you, DC.
That's kind of how we roll. Don't forget Mr. Verlade and Mr. Johnson.
I never forget Jay.
Did you just leave him out? Oh, you never forget? Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I'm going to leave that right there.
Yeah, exactly.
What's up, buddy?
How are
you? You mean from the time we were just on air to now?
Yeah.
I'm doing great.
Yeah.
I'm doing fantabulous.
It's a This Day Thursday, you know.
Is it really?
Yeah, we've got some items to pass along throughout the show today. Like, just off the top.
Okay.
How about on this day, 1929, the first airport hotel opened at Oakland, California.
Oh.
Airport hotel. Those are pretty commonplace.
It was that the first one ever or the first one?
In Oakland, I think.
Okay, in Oakland. In Oakland, though?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's really from
Oakland. Hey, there's a 1988 on there that is special. Happy birthday, Damian Lillard.
Oh.
31. You know what time it is, baby. Jim Jones, 45. Yes, sir. Okay.
Is there a John Crotty signing on there?
Yeah, there is. John Crotty. Fitty-doo. Lefty.
Virginia? Was he Virginia?
Yeah, he was Virginia. Yeah. John, he was totally, that's why he's still with the Heat. He's like totally, like, bite your pinky off, get down into you on defense. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And pull up and that left-hand jumper. Out the phone booth, bucket. Yeah,
John. Before out,
John Crotty. That's a good name. I saw John right before the pandemic. Last time I seen him, what's up? He had his ring on.
Of course he did.
Oh, of course he did. He's living large. I am so tired.
So shake your hand
of watching
with the ring.
Absolutely.
See this, by the way, Doug. You see this? Is that what he's doing?
No, I'm looking in your face. How you doing? Nope. Oh, yeah, nice suit.
Just follow your eyes.
People
around.
Who come in here and they have rings on.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I just.
Speak it into existence, Doug.
Yes. World champion, Sacramento Kings. That's right.
Woo!
Your NBA world champion, Sacramento Kings.
Okay.
Stu Lance, I give Stu credit.
Yeah.
He never wears that one.
Around you.
You're damn right.
Yeah. He knows.
Yeah.
He knows his audience.
He's good people, man.
Yes, he is.
Yeah.
He's got, well, the fact that he can choose is also a little bit.
It is kind of tart.
Oh, wait, I'm going to see Doug, so let me not wear that
one.
But I'm going to wear this
Stu
one.
Actually talks to you, huh?
I've heard him say it to you.
Oh.
And to others. Why wouldn't he talk to me?
That bothered you, huh?
Oh. Hit a nerve.
Too much information right there.
Today on the show, we will have five on it. Coming your way at 5 o'clock. Damon Hack, our friend from the Golf Channel, will join us at 5:30.
Is that just not a – is that the all-time golf name?
I mean, he was a writer here forever in Sacramento, covered football and all sorts of things, but then just
– I wonder if
golf.
He golf. Does he golf?
I bet he does.
Yeah.
The Golf Channel.
He's a hack.
Yeah. You tell him that. Seth Everett, host of Sports with Friends. He's our friend. He joins us at 4 o'clock. That's coming up. But let's get you started, as we always do each and every day, with First Things First.
First Things First.
Close things first.
All right, DC, the Open Championship.
Yes, sir.
It was the British Open. Now it's the Open Championship. Anyway, either way, whatever you call it, Royal St. George, it's underway in England. And we were saying this in the Golf Hour, all the way at the bottom. Everybody's hero, or a lot of people's hero. Phil Mickelson shot an 80.
Lefty.
Maybe we can all relate to that a little bit. Plus 10. That puts him in dead last, tied with Dan Lawson. Both at...
See, the thing is, you can't really relate to it.
I couldn't shoot 80 there. I'd love an 80 overall.
But when you get to his tee box...
No, I'd be looking at 120.
You need a Bushnell rangefinder.
Maybe two. Maybe the one that goes 1,000. Then you work your way up a guy that you said you liked.
Yeah.
Rory McIlroy. Good round. Even par. Nothing
even
wrong
par.
With that. That puts him. He's in there.
He's
the tied for 48th. We'll work our way up there a little bit. Look for some other names. Brooks Koepka. Always got to keep your eye on him. He is at 1 under par. Let's get to another group at 2 under par. Guy I actually like coming in. Victor Hovland. He is at 2 under. He's a good young golfer. Justin Rose is at 3 under par. tied for ninth. Tommy Fleetwood there as well. Then you get into the top four under and above. You've got, or in better, Stuart Sink. You got Webb Simpson in there. The guys at five under, Brian Harman, Jordan Spieth. Watch out for him. And then sweet swinging Louis Oosthuizen at six under par. 2 second place finishes this year.
Yeah.
And is currently the leader at the British Open.
Man, is that a Switzerland, Justin Rose?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, that with the cross, with the red. Is that Switzerland?
Why do I feel like that's wrong? Is it Denmark? Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, the reason I'm saying that is they got a contingent.
Well. Yeah.
Fleetwood,
yep.
Rose, Senior, Willett, Sullivan. They all in the mix, man. Everyone's three under. It's a country thing.
Yeah.
You're going to tell me in a second, aren't you?
I'm looking it up, but I don't think I did the right thing there.
Denmark, that doesn't strike me as
okay.
Denmark.
I'm very probably wrong.
Yeah, you usually are.
Hey, watch it.
Yeah, easy there, star. But, this is a nice leaderboard. I told you, and I said it during golf hour, you were like, oh, you're going to pick somebody at the top because I did not text you. I got a few things going on, so I didn't get around to it. But I'm going even par here.
Okay.
And I'm going with Mr. McIlroy. The fact that he sunk a 8, 15, 14, 12, let's go 12. We don't want to make it seem too big. Birdie putt on 18, put him at even par. He was plus one.
Yep.
Let's see what the young man does.
Colin Morikawa's up there at 300.
Yeah.
Good names. I think the one thing, this is of the majors.
Mm-hmm.
Probably, honestly, because of time differential. I think it's the one that's the most, I don't know if it's difficult, but it's just different. There's generally a routine of, hey, the rounds start around 8 or 9 in the morning, and then especially on the weekend, we're going to get the conclusion 3 or 4. Like, this will be done at 9, 10 in the morning on Sunday. But there's also some charm to that. You mentioned earlier on the golf hour, too, just the course. That, to me, the way looking at it reminds me more of something like Bandon Dunes. Like, there's dunes and turns, and it's more I say flat, you're not really going uphill and down, but there's
undulation everywhere.
Yeah.
Like, and this isn't a mound like 2 inches.
No.
You know, it's.
You won't end up on the mound most likely, but it'll take you for a ride somewhere.
If you're flying your drive or your three wood in there and that's the landing spot, it's going to send you someplace. And Royal St. George is a course that people are questioned about. We just talked to Frank LaRosa about that. People are questioning whether it should be in the Open Championship rotation or not. It is. I am here for it because I think that those twists and turns lend to probably some really contentious moments.
Yes.
That should be fun on the weekend.
For sure. And I think, you know, they've changed the way the majors have gone the last couple of years, so this one's the final one. They'll still be playing for FedEx Cup and different things like that. But names are made here, Doug. I mean, whether it's the Masters, the U.S. Open, the PGA, or the British Open.
I saw him there. Molinari.
Yep.
The year with Tiger.
Yep.
He was in it, and Molinari just kind of just kept pushing, and all of a sudden he breaks through. And for about a couple of majors – he was, like, right up there at the top of the leaderboard thinking, like, okay, well, now he's kind of falling back. Still really good. I saw him on the leaderboard here. Where is Molinari? I want to say he was maybe even minus two. There you go.
Oh, yeah, tied for 19th.
Yeah,
19th.
Yeah, he's right there. So this should be a lot of fun over the weekend, man. I am here for it. I love the fact that Brooks Koepka's right there because he's always dangerous. Think he's getting healthy. The knee's getting better. And his pettiness is at an all-time high.
Yeah, and as you said that, I didn't even think about where's Bryson. A plus one, okay, tied for 74th.
Okay.
So
you think
John Rahm, who was the pre-tournament favorite, also plus one?
I think he left him a note on his.
I hope so.
Yeah, I do too. Yeah.
I'm
hey,
into
you're
that.
Like really far behind me, but you're only two shots back.
Yeah.
I can't see you. Yeah. Here's a Bushnell rangefinder, 1,000-yard range.
You'll find me up there.
You'll find me up there.
First things first.
All right, we label this next one The Mess.
Oh, The Mess.
With Team USA.
Oh, boy.
There's a developing story here, DC.
Oh,
because
boy.
Bradley Beal has entered, and I think we mentioned this yesterday
in
the show, that he had entered the kind of the COVID protocol. Well, they're basically getting to a stage where they're going to remove him from Team USA.
Oh.
He is not going to Tokyo. So they're looking for a replacement there. That's part one. The second part is also it looks like Jeremy Grant has now entered the COVID protocol. This is something that hasn't gone away. There's you can argue in some areas it's better, some areas it's not. I know around the Olympics it's getting really bad again. So we haven't crossed the finish line.
No.
This will keep entering sports in different ways, and whether or not people are vaccinated, wearing masks or not, there's still ways to acquire it. And in this case, when they've all been practicing and playing, it could get uglier before it gets better. I don't know.
Wait,
I'm not
hoping
for that.
Could you wipe out a team?
I don't know. In theory, yes, but I don't know.
So tell me this. What do you think the Olympic Committee would allow for your Tyrese Halliburtons and different players to move up to the senior team if something like that were to happen where a lot of guys were knocked out? I mean, it makes sense.
Right. You need bodies. Yeah. Or you're just not playing.
Yeah, and they are competing against the national team, I believe. Aren't they going to scrimmage them at some point?
That's what part of the plan was, and I was looking. I thought I saw their game. Yeah, it's supposed to be Friday. Their discussions with canceling the game with Australia tomorrow.
So, am I to understand that Bradley Beal is now out?
That's the thought, yes.
Okay. So, if he is out, in your mind, substitutions? Or do you go to that team, meaning the – I don't know. What do you call them? The junior team? The
equivalent,
Okay. Do you go to that to pluck somebody and bring them up?
Yeah, I don't think you're calling Steph right now who kind of already said no. Or whoever has said no, I think you're probably looking at someone internally who's already there in Vegas.
Would they allow you to do that?
I don't know if there's a precedent, because we even talked about this, and we're going to get into it in a moment with the series, because it's now 2-2. At the minimum, they're going 6. There's a decent chance it goes 7.
Yes, sir.
I'm speaking for myself. If I was on that team that committed to the Olympics but also just won the finals, I want to go to my parade.
Oh, I am going to my parade.
So now all of
a
sudden,
that's the one thing that more than anything I'm trying to get to
right here.
Right.
So if that's the Bucks, you got two guys. If it's Booker and the Suns, you got one guy. You know, and I know they committed. I just think there's still a lot of moving parts here.
So if, let's just say it does. It goes 7. That's July 22nd. You give yourself probably a, 48-hour window for the parade? Is that about right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's about 2 days?
They start July 23rd, the Olympics.
Okay. So you're missing...
I don't know when basketball starts. Let's see. The tournament will run from July 25th to the 1st.
Okay. So, I mean, you'll be arriving on the day or a day after. No question.
Cross-country travel after a
– Asia.
You're done.
Time difference.
And you
– Lots of
– The energy to win. Let's say we're talking 7, right? So either Booker or Middleton Holiday.
Mm-hmm.
The party is – I mean, like the energy expended to win 2 more games –
all the tea that you drink.
And the emotion and then all of that. And then the fun you should have. You deserve.
You're damn right you should.
I love Monty's comment yesterday. Monty Williams, like, we said this is going to be hard. What's on the other side is this is what we're chasing.
Yeah.
It's on the other side. Like, good line. I mean, it's going to be difficult. Yeah. And they can do it.
It's supposed to be.
Yes.
Like, that's what.
It's difficult to win a championship.
Like, I'm in that moment. I'm like, guys, this is. I got the vibe in the locker room. But this is exactly what we came here for.
Yeah.
We came here for this.
Yeah.
The feeling, that's what we came here for. Because that's the only way that you get to that.
Right.
So if you're not willing to experience this part, well, we're in the wrong spot.
Yeah.
This feeling, the down feeling, that is what you experience on
that's
the road to success.
Yeah, and then you're trying to chase what you're ultimately getting to.
Yes.
And that just takes so much. It's like being on. Being focused 24/7 on a task, you get there, you celebrate, you've achieved it. Now the other emotions of proud, tears, happiness, thinking to when, man, I remember when I was in third grade, I'm on the court at 8, whatever, all the things that'll come to a player's mind, or this coach, or this family member. And then, yeah, go to a parade more, and then go cross country and go represent Team USA, kind of with that same mindset. Whew. Yeah. That's a lot.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
No, it totally is. So if you say it starts on the 25th, finals are done the 22nd. Parade, let's just say the 24th.
At best.
At best. Let's call it the day of, the 25th. You
maybe
have the,
you
parade,
the parade,
all that. No, I'm not missing the parade.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you're not on Team US? No, you are. You've already committed to it.
I am. I'll be there.
I'll miss game 1.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, even if you made it to game one, like, how are you playing that person?
Yeah, you're probably not.
Two,
right.
The Bucks.
You're probably. Plus, now with this, you're going to have to get tested and all, a lot of different things. Man, you're going to be around a lot of people. Like, could you be in protocol? This is, and we're seeing it because something was sent to me. Are we talking about that? Was it your Yankees?
No, that developed, that happened here. Yeah, just, by the way, sidebar, that game with the Red Sox, the second half starting tonight, they're not playing.
They're not playing.
COVID positives.
What side was it on?
I thought I saw Yankees, but I only saw it during the golf show, so I don't know.
Okay. Yeah, I saw Chris, I believe it was Chris. It might have been Jay that sent it. And I just briefly perused. That's what you do. Peruse through it. And I was just like, man, I believe the text said, here we go again.
Yeah, it was three Yankees.
Three Yankees.
Positive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
It's not
be careful. And people, wear your mask.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Yep. All right, let's continue with more. First things first.
First things first.
First things first.
Lob it out to Pat Connaughton. It is over. We've got a 2-2 series. 109-103 Bucks. That is the final. It's in the playoff bank. Earning interest.
Mm-hmm. Ted Davis there from the Bucks Radio Network. Yeah, that's what I told you I wanted. I wanted a win for Milwaukee so we could be here. I didn't care how they got it. I think we had the best game of the series. Good drama. Two-possession game. Actually, a tie game with a minute and a half to go. It's anybody's game. Some highlights, some moments, some things we'll discuss, obviously, from the game. Count me in. Entertain. And for me, again, perfect. Either you hate a team, which I don't hate either team, or you love a team. I'm not in that spot. I'm rooting for great basketball. We got it last night.
Yeah, we did. I thought a really good game. We saw I missed. I went back and watched the first quarter, missed some of that, kind of back and forth or whatever.
The game got better.
It did. It got better. There was a point there where I thought, okay, the Bucks. Wow, you're about to go down 3-1.
Yep.
And it probably coincided with the Booker foul charge on the baseline against P.J. Tucker. I think that's just let it go. Because, like, we're going to collide. It was a selling, and that's the part. Like, I've seen more egregious fouls that weren't called, like Booker for a 6-1, what was he going to have to do?
Maybe the seventh one too late. That one wasn't as bad, but
and the ref had the nerve to put his hand like this. You know when they say hand was on top of the ball.
Yeah, and even Booker came out like jump. I'm like, it's not a jump.
Come
ball.
On, man. His hand was on top of the ball.
Yeah,
but both legs were wrapped around him, and then he was hugging him and biting his neck at the same time. Stop it already.
He was great. Remember,
he was.
I want to see his bounce back. He was awesome.
I'm telling you, I. So, we've talked about this many times. That's a strategy. Let him go for a number and hold other people down, or do you double-team him and get the ball out of his hands? Because I heard some people saying, get the ball out of his hands. Make it as difficult as you can for him and live with him getting a number and you win the game. It was iffy, though, because I thought he was so good that you might need to double-team him.
Yeah. And he was, 7 of 7 in the third and only made one. I mean, he sat out most of the fourth with the foul trouble, made the one, like, runner, which was good, or maybe made two, but he missed one. I mean, he was, like, 1 of 2 or 2 of 3. That was it.
Well, Monty said after, he said probably, like, a minute. I minute waited, sooner. Like, a minute too long. That trust thing is, it's delicate when you trust your player to play with fouls. Reason being,
he plays aggressively too.
And I thought that he was going to lose the trust because he should have fouled out a couple times.
Yeah.
And that particular foul that we're talking about on the breakaway, that was stupid.
Yeah.
Let him go.
Why make a decision earlier on something, not a foul.
Yes. It was, I believe it was tied.
I think so too.
Because, or maybe they were down.
No, they were down
one.
Two. I think that two? Layup tied,
okay.
I think.
Because then Giannis comes back in and puts it in after the miss. But the point was, you had, I know he did this afterwards, but he had conceded in his mind, I'm fouling him. That's what I saw. And you cannot do that at that particular time.
Valuable.
You're too valuable. You got to know. I mean,
Olé.
Like, give it, like, Oh, I'm coming. No, I'm not.
Right.
Whatever.
No offense, but if it's Cameron Payne, you can foul.
Yes.
We can lose you.
Yes.
Sorry, but we can lose you.
But that guy?
We can't.
Not right
Paul,
now.
Not Booker.
There's so much here. The Chris Paul aspect, the block aspect of Giannis, the Coach Bud, I'm going to give him credit again to adjust. How about understanding at the end of the game? What did I tell you? I said, Giannis is the MVP. But at the end of the game, I don't want him having the basketball.
Yeah.
It needs to be in Tucker's hands, Middleton's hands, or Holiday. And the adjustment was put the ball in Middleton's hands, and there were a couple times the kind of step back fall away in front of the Suns bench when
mid-range.
He kind of navigated mid-range. I think there was a time when he would pass that ball back to Giannis, and he didn't. And I said to myself, they had a conversation. The same Dwayne Wade, LeBron James conversation, like, look, I feel you, but I need you to go. And, man, did he go. It wasn't Middleton. He got the whole yard, baby. Nowhere in the middle.
Yeah, much more on this series, obviously, and this game specifically as we come back in our next segment. Let's give you a few more things from First Things First.
First Things First.
First Things First.
All right, DC, we had this yesterday. We've now – I played it for you. You heard the 911 call. I don't think we need to necessarily air it here. I mean, it's two-plus minutes. It's uncomfortable. And not the uncomfortable nature of course, those are – no one's like, hey, let's listen to this 911 call. It's not a happy, joyous feeling. I didn't really –
Can we get the context without playing it?
Yeah.
Because the Sherm's my guy. That's not what I'm saying. I'm more like, do we need to –
Yeah.
Okay. There you go.
The uncomfortable nature for me, I personally didn't really like the way the dispatcher was handling the situation.
Oh, my gosh.
And that's their
Agreed.
Job. You know, and so this is a panic situation for anybody who's in the call. And I know that probably part of it is to calm down. I need information. I need to know where you are.
Yeah, but being from Washington, just so you know,
yeah.
I've dealt with that as a kid growing up a lot. I hear that type of voice.
What is that?
It's I'm reluctant to say the word, so I won't.
Okay. But I don't know how else to explain it.
I don't either.
Not, not in a soothing, like, okay, we're okay. Tell me what's going on. It was more like, I got it. I'm doing my job.
Shut up and let me
talk.
I know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
You don't know anything.
Right.
That's what I took from it. And many times, I'm like, in this particular, I didn't, and I don't know. And I'm probably sure that there are some, policemen and dispatch that listen to us. So I don't know this part. Like immediately when you get 911, does it come up where you're at and because if that's the case, then already she's probably pushed a button and she's sending people that way.
In motion.
And if that's the case, okay, now I'm just talking to you. But no address, the name was given late, and then just the tone of the dispatch, and I don't mean to make it about the dispatch because it's not, but I would agree with you that I didn't like that either.
Yeah, and then the other part to me that was certainly, you know, telling in what we heard from the story yesterday, maybe to the call, was the amount of concern Sherman's wife had with Richard Sherman potentially taking his own life, which is something I didn't know, you know, when you read that or hear maybe about it, but now you hear like what he had threatened to do, what he is doing, he's just frustrated. He obviously had consumed some alcohol, and you're just going, man, how crazy was this situation?
It's a CTE, not to say that that's what we're dealing with here, but it's an interesting mix when you talk about athletes and ending their career. Like I was telling you earlier, like when I was done, I got a chance to look at my son who was 2 years old every single day. That probably soothed me in a lot of ways, and I dealt with because I never knew when my last – game was going to be, but guess what? That was it. It happened. And now the farther I get away and what am I going to do next and a lot of different things. That part of it was disturbing because yesterday I took from it and without knowing, I'm thinking, okay, I'm out at the club, too much to drink, got in an accident, going away from the car. That was not that
no,
based upon
different.
That call.
Right.
And I'm just lots of love lots of prayers and hope sent out to Richard Sherman, because he is absolutely one of my favorites. Obviously, Super Bowl for my team in Seattle, but even more, I was still a fan when he was on the 49ers. Mm-hmm. I've met him once up at Summer League in Seattle. Just a really good dude. So sending that out to him and his family for sure.
Well said. All right, we're going to come back. We're going to talk more about Game 4, Giannis's block, more on that officiating, Chris Paul's turnover struggles, some of those things when we come back. Capital Casino is back with indoor gaming and dining, located inside at 411 North 16th Street in downtown Sacramento. We're back with more after this on KHDK. Back here on Sports 1140 KHDK, Jason Ross, Doug Christie. We appreciate everyone checking us out, certainly all of you on YouTube.
What it do?
We welcome you back in here on a This Day Thursday, 1968, mm-hmm. on this day, D.C. Mm-hmm. One Life to Live, American soap opera, premieres on TV. I never watched One Life to Live.
Where were you at with that?
Not born yet.
I was young and restless.
Oh.
Yeah, my grandma.
If anything, I saw...
My grandma watched Young and
Days
restless.
Of Our Lives a couple times.
Oh, okay.
But never...
A couple times.
Yeah, but it's one of the... Yeah, I didn't watch
You didn't
it.
Sit with Mama too much then, huh?
No, we had some friends down the street that got into it one summer, and then like kind of... It's like anything. Once you start, I'm like, what is this? And then, wait, why is she...
Yeah.
Oh, he's bad. You know,
will you be quiet? Hold on. Victor is
I'm
about to...
I'm watching my stories.
What you know about Victor? Forrest Whitaker, happy birthday. 60 today. And some people out there going, yeah, DC, that is right. Victor in the house, baby. Eddie Griffin, 53 today.
Brother.
Yes, sir. I'm not going to do it to you, Chris, but today is National Dork Day. Be a Dork Day. Chris?
Nice to see you dressed up for a piece.
Yes. Chris, I love you, man. National Gummy Worm Day today.
Not gummy bear, but gummy worm.
Gummy worm.
Okay.
You know, that's just some people in a room, and they're like, hey, let's go with worms.
Yeah.
I can remember when they came out. Were you a gummy worm guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. I was too. Yeah.
You remember when they came out?
And the problem is what?
I thought they always existed.
No, come
the beginning
on.
Of time. Are
you, listen, let me tell you something about the evolution.
Like gummy bears have been around for 100 years.
No, they have not. That is.
You remember when they came out? That was 100 years ago.
No, the evolution of candy, I'm here for it. My mom worked at a grocery store. The Pepsi Challenge, I was there for the Pepsi Challenge, Chris. Pop Rocks, they experimented, at least in my neighborhood, they experimented on us. That you can see what type of candy worked better, type of gum, all types of different things. And I was in line because it was free, baby. excuse me, kid. This is your, like, fifth time in line. I'm like, do you want to know the damn information or not?
You enjoyed it.
In the words of Sewell, you can see I did enjoy it at all.
So we'll continue to give you a few of those things on this day, Thursday. I want to get back to last night, D.C., including a play that many people are still talking about right now.
Comes around. Booker driving. Lob to Ayton. Knocked away by the Bucks. Giannis did it.
Okay, that's radio. That's hard. Ted Davis with the call. Amazing. Amazing block in a 2-point game.
Yeah.
Important game. I thought that play was awesome. It's the moment to me of the series to date.
To date. I would agree with
you. The moment's still coming, though.
You can talk about Tayshaun Prince on Reggie Miller. Mm-hmm. You definitely, Carmichael Dave was in here earlier and asked me what I thought between LeBron's block and that block.
Yeah.
I think LeBron's block is greater because to watch him pick up to top speed, time his jump, and then not pound it against the backboard. He rubbed it off the backboard. And
Kept possession.
Like, there's so many just incredible things about that. But let me say, I would go as far as to say 90%, maybe even a tick higher, of NBA players in that particular moment would have gotten their steps together or 2-foot jumped. Or something that caused...
That was too late, wouldn't it?
Exactly. It would have been 0.2 seconds. It would have been too late. Giannis's efficiency of motion, he just did it. Like, that is... I equate it to you guys. I don't know if it was like if you're standing, everybody who's listening, let's say you're standing on a ledge. And whatever, however far it is, it's far enough for you to jump. I don't care who you are. It's far enough for you. For me, I'm farther, obviously, because I'm more athletic. But it's far enough for you to jump if you took off and ran and jumped.
And most likely, if you had the space to do it, you're going to do that anyway to make sure
you
can do it.
But in this particular situation,
you don't get the run up.
There's fire behind you. There's a dog. All you got to do without, you can't skip your feet. You just got to take a step and go.
Yeah.
That's what he did. And not at 10 feet. He went where he needed to get to. That's the whole point about jumping across something. See, he needed to get to 12 feet. And he was able to do it like an electric vehicle. No lag, no hesitation. It was one of the most impressive things athletically that I've seen in quite some time. The nuances of what was involved in that are just next level. And 2 weeks ago, he hyperextended his knee.
I know.
Come on, man.
I mean, there's so many things. There was another freeze frame someone put on Twitter last night of, it was late in the game, one of those turnovers where they threw it ahead to Giannis. Mm-hmm. And they stopped
no dribble.
The frame. They said, if I were to tell you right here,
come on,
that he's going to no dribble dunk this.
Like, where was the catch at? Because I didn't see
this. Well, the catch ended up being past half court. But when the ball was released, Giannis was probably, he was just on the other side of the three-point line on the defensive side.
On the defensive side. On the side that the ball was passed
from.
Yeah,
so it was being released. And yes. You're like, he's not going to dribble. He didn't have the ball yet.
Yes.
But he probably gathered.
Three-point line?
Around there.
Yeah. Now we're talking three-point line on the offensive side.
And clearly didn't travel. I mean,
he didn't.
Just two long strides and dunked. Easily.
Yo, and like, not stretching.
No.
Like,
it was just, it was a gentle flush. Like,
he placed it in the basket.
Yep.
Some of the things that he does, just next level impressiveness.
Yeah, and I want to go back to something you said in the last segment, Doug, that I think is important, that Booker was amazing.
Yes.
And I guess the way I would put it is, I talked a lot yesterday with you about the big three for each side. If you know, to me, what the Bucks got yesterday in a game, really, that could have been either team's game, and probably for the most part should have been the Suns' game.
Yeah.
But to get 40 from Middleton,
mm-hmm.
I don't know what that is. Chris Paul doesn't generally get you 40, but that's 30 from Chris Paul. That's 28 from Ayton. You kind of expect, you don't have to get 40 from Booker, but
yeah,
you expect him to get you a number. You kind of want Giannis to get you a number. But when it's when it's Holiday or Middleton getting you that number, man, the Bucks are really tough to beat. And he was just so good in the fourth quarter, got to his spots. Like you said, took the pressure off. Like, we're not talking about Giannis didn't make that big play. Where's the wall? Like, it was all in Middleton.
Well, I'm also going to – this is where I have to give Coach Bud credit. Now, I will say I'm here in Sacramento, and I would have made this adjustment immediately. But whatever. The ability for Coach Bud to adjust and say, and Giannis as well. I told you that Giannis is the MVP best player, but at the end of the game, I don't want the ball in his hands. I want the ball in Middleton's hands or Drew Holiday's hands. The reason being is Giannis, up to that point, when they're building the wall and all that, he hadn't really learned how to use his players. There was a play in a previous game, game three, Jason, where he was on the wing with Connaughton, mm-hmm. and he dribble hand off to him or threw the ball, then went and set a pick, kind of comes off, draws two, throws it to him, and he dunks it. And I said to myself, that's it. Well, the reason that's it is because whether Giannis has the ball or he doesn't have the ball, he's still Giannis. So you're thinking wall question. I mean, but the big point is you must play the basketball. So now all of a sudden, Giannis is dribble handoff to Chris Middleton, or he's going over and setting a pick. And when he sets that pick, since he's Giannis and he still rolls, you can catch the defense now in bad positions. And he's doing the thing that he was doing as an ISO, but he's not allowing the defense to all five of them get a look at him. And for Chris Middleton, the growth of him to say, I'm not passing it back to you at this particular time, I think was brilliant for two reasons. One, you can knock the shot down. Two, if you don't knock the shot down, this guy's getting a rebound.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's so much in this game, and I'm sure we're going to get to Chris Paul as well.
Yeah, I think the other thing, too, I wanted to bring was the officiating, and I don't like to always – I didn't love it. I mean, and not in the common sense, like, yeah, I think Booker, that was a sixth – he fouled him. I think it was the inconsistency of they let him – like, it was physical. I'm good with that.
I am, too.
But then you might get a touch foul on a three-point shot.
Yeah.
And or a touch foul on the perimeter, and you're going – I thought Crowder was flopping around a lot, and then, you know, the time he gets in the face, okay, that's foul. I mean,
yeah.
That hurts, but there's other times where he act like, okay, he's dead.
Right.
And, all right, Connaughton pushed you.
Yeah.
And then you go down low, and, like, I didn't really want to see Booker's chip. I mean, I would call that a foul, but, like, if they let that go, like, all right, we're playing.
Yeah.
But then you're going to get a touch on shooting a three, and, like, where's the consistency?
Based upon how the game was being called, the Booker foul wasn't a foul.
Exactly.
On the baseline with Tucker.
Right.
Like, that was always my thing is like, and you know who taught me this is Isaiah Thomas, Hall of Famer Isaiah mm-hmm. Thomas. He would say, test the whistle at the beginning of the game. Let's figure out what it is. You're probably going to get a foul, but we have to give that up. And once we establish what the whistle is, now we can build the parameters of how we're going to attack this. With what you're saying is, damn, man.
To me, inside, I can punch you. Outside, I breathe on you. And that's kind of what it – it wasn't that dramatic, but that's what it felt like.
Let's take it to a defensive philosophy. Why are you going to allow a big guy on a small guy down low? You're going to double team him. Well, why in the hell are you going to allow a small guy and a big guy out top, but you're going to let him cook him?
Yeah.
That makes no sense. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
You know, well, you might be a brain scientist, but I'm not a brain scientist.
I'm not.
Yeah.
Good game, though. Good drama.
Yes.
And when we come back, we're going to have to see. I mean, where does this leave us? It's 2-2. I mean, the obvious is it's 2-2. Nothing.
We got to get into Chris Paul, too.
Yeah. I want his struggles.
No, because I'm not going there.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah. I'm giving credit. I'm not taking away. I'm shooting a shot out because I've been in this position before.
Cliff Paul?
No, not
Chris
Cliff.
Paul.
No.
All right. We'll see what the credit Doug's going to give here. And where is this series going? Obviously, it's 2-2. Still anybody's series. Who's the favorite now? We'll discuss that when we come back here on KHDK. Back here on Sports 1140 KHDK.
Money, 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 money!
Seth Everett,
host
of Sports with Friends, will join us at 4 o'clock. Also, Damon Hack still to join us, talk about the Open. He's going to join us at 5:30. A couple more things this day, Thursday. Let's see. 1969, Rod Carew ties the record with his seventh steal of home.
Come on.
In a season.
Huh?
Wow.
A little squeeze play.
Yes.
Rod Carew bringing it home. Jesse, the Body Ventura. 70th birthday today.
What don't they want me to know, Mean Gene?
That it's National Tapioca Day. Huh?
Okay.
A little pudding?
Sure.
Yeah. Hold on. Let me find it. I just did. I took my cherries in there and gave them to Jay. It's National Give Something Away Day.
Oh, you've done it.
I've done it.
There you go.
How about you, Mr. Selfish? I don't want that.
Turning down my gift. Wow. I'm giving away this opportunity for you to tell me about Chris Paul.
Oh, yes.
What do you got? What were you saying about Chris Paul?
Because
I see a guy who's struggling a little bit with turnovers.
And I see a guy who's got a straitjacket on him, and his name is Drew Holiday.
Woo!
I'm of this mindset, Kings fans that listen to us, I am 94 feet. I want to see guys, not the way that Drew is doing it. You're not going to do that for a whole season. Like, he's picking him up. But what you're seeing from Drew Holiday, you guys, is you're seeing him not only pick him up, but before the ball's in bounds, he's leaning on him. Drew's like 215 pounds, 210 pounds. Like, just for 5 seconds, like, it's like, man, will you get off of me already? Then he's catching his first move, making him change directions. Once he gets a half court, a quick reach, make him change. Like, that over a 48-minute high-leverage game in the finals, that Western Conference final, the playoff intensity, it's because when you move the basketball, you really got to move it because turnover is not an option. It happens. But the point is, like, everything that you do, you really mean it. I don't know if that makes sense, but it's like for real, for real. the fact that he's doing that, you can see that it's wearing. I've said many times, Chris Paul's had soft tissue injuries. I'm sorry, but like hamstrings and different things. Listen, bro, we got to test it out. By the end, you're going to have a wrap on that thing and some tights and the whole nine. That's what you're seeing from Jrue Holiday. So the struggles that people are talking about with Jrue Holiday on the offensive end of the floor, I used to go through this with my agent and those guys because they were like, D, come on, man. You got to be more aggressive on the offensive end. And I had to pick and choose my spots, man. Listen, me and Steve Nash are dancing up the floor, man. Left, right, left, right. And I'm chasing Kobe and their screens and you're into him. And, like, you can't just go down and just shoot a jumper. Like, sometimes it's a vibe. So when I'm watching Jrue struggle a little bit, I'm giving him credit that he has the courage to continue to be aggressive offensively with what he's doing. What he's doing on that end of the floor, because I consider him, like, that's what I think De'Aaron Fox is on defense. That's what I think. Now, we see how much it cost him, so that's where Fox has to pick and choose. And sometimes, like Mike, he'd be like, hey, D, can you get him? So, hey, Hallie, get him for a second. Let me pump my brakes. Now I'm going to get aggressive offensively. We'll flip it around, and now we can kind of tag team because both of those guys are really good defensively. That is so utterly impressive what Jrue Holiday is doing, man. And we might not give him the credit because of what Giannis is doing and what Middleton's doing, but make no mistake about it. He is doing something to Chris Paul. The amount of turnovers that Chris Paul has had in the last
– Three games.
Three games – I don't know that he's had in the whole playoffs. We were like, oh, 12 assists, zero turnovers. Hell, he had three turnovers in the last 4 minutes.
Yeah, it's his most stretch in the playoffs in three games.
And I told you, that when I knew, like, oh, man, my man's wearing on him, Chris Paul gets in the lane and he goes for the floater, he's
like
right
four
there. Four-footer. Not that you can't miss the floater.
Right, no, but it was short and flat.
It was short and flat, and
didn't
I went.
Even get above the rim.
I said, huh.
Legs are
The legs are getting, and this is why I say to the Kings, when you're playing against jump shooting teams, that's it costs you. I know it costs you, but do you want to win or not? Because if you want to win, do that and you'll win. Because them jumpers, and I always say this to you, Jason, it's not for the first quarter, it's for the fourth quarter. Mm-hmm. The same thing is true on pick and rolls now. They're trapping higher, they're making other players make decisions. Budenholzer, good stuff, but I'm not downing Chris Paul. That's what I point. Like, listen, he got to figure that out because Jrue Holiday, I'm going there. I'm giving the credit to who I believe is doing the job in this particular instance. And being in that position before, that ain't no light work, man.
Yeah. The other thing, too, you told me, and I didn't catch this when it happened, but didn't get a lot of run, but Jeff Teague.
Hey.
So then he just played it differently. It's like, he, of all people, he's fresh. You might get 5 minutes run max.
Your boy is at, I'm at
and
the
he's
crib.
He's giving the cushion like we're apart right
I
now.
I know
with
my son was like, what is dad doing upstairs? I'm like, get up, dude. What are you doing? And I told you, whenever like I'd get subbed out and Bobby was going in, I'd walk by him and I'd be like, don't let him get started. And we're talking about Kobe now. Yeah. Bobby's was different. Mine was the defense. Bobby would go at him offensively.
I'm gonna give him 8 points
here. It's the same. It's just a different philosophy. But that would be what I'd say to him. I got you. You know, Bobby
probably said it differently than that.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A few other words.
We speak our own language.
It's fun. I'm loving the series. I think it's been good entertainment. It's 2-2.
What'd you text me?
We got a series.
Yep. I said, you're damn right.
Which
we do.
I think the funny thing is the saying, which. I think it's ridiculous. We don't have a series until the road team wins. No, this is a series.
It is, no
doubt.
I mean,
nobody's won on the road, and technically
about this?
Could play all home games, and it's all a win for Phoenix in seven, but that's great.
Yeah. What'd you say? What'd you pick?
Bucks in six.
Yeah. I'm iffy. I'm iffy right now. I just want you to know. What I'm seeing, got your boy iffy.
Well, you and I went six. Chris went Suns in four. Jay's the only one with seven. You should feel good about that. He's got the Bucks, but we'll see.
Huh?
Bucks in seven.
Yeah, baby.
It's been fun. All right, more on the NBA Finals certainly coming up. In our next hour, though, when we come back, Seth Everett, friend of the show and host of Sports with Friends, he will join us when we come back here on KHDK.